podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome, fight fans, to another episode of BTR Boxing Podcast with your host, Sean Bastow. And in this special episode, we're going to be reviewing the Irish boxing scene at the moment, and in particular, the Clash of the Titans bill that's just happened over the weekend. So I'm going to be joined shortly by John Bolger, who writes for us. He's our Irish correspondent, so we'll be getting him on very shortly just to talk about that particular show and the state of affairs in Irish boxing at the moment. But before we do, and we get into the episode, I want to give a big shout out to Bear Attack Boxing, who are the sponsors for BTR Boxing Podcast, providing high quality boxing gloves to all you trainers, all you fighters, all you gym goers out there. If you've not already seen them, you need to go and check out their website at www.bearattackboxing.co.uk. Follow them on the social, they're on all social media platforms, Bear Attack Boxing, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, find them on there. Also, follow us on Podbean for more episodes, more series, more weekly reviews, more fighter interviews. Subscribe to us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Player FM, iTunes. You know the score by now. Get on there, get subscribing. We really appreciate the support. Share the love around social media. So I'm delighted to welcome to today's episode the man over in Ireland covering it for Eastleigh Boxing Repeat, Mr. John Bolger. John, how are you doing?
Sean, brilliantly. Yeah, all good. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, thank you. Thank you for coming on. It's really appreciated you taking the time out to give a review, obviously, of the Clash of the Titans show, which he was ringside for on Saturday night. I think, first of all, obviously, when you're being that close to the action and, you know, being able to see it up close and personal, how did you find the show? Was it a really good event?
Yeah, like I'd say, like just to give you a feel of it, like the over here in terms of the boxing scene, like it's just been building and building and building, and it's buzzing now. Like this show, this has only been the third show that's been shown on live terrestrial TV, and you know, you're talking about 10 years, you know. So there's been huge build up around it, and you know, for any not just boxing, real hardcore fans, but casual fans are getting into it, you know, because. I think because of the bill, people are looking at the bill and what the guys are doing in boxing arm promotions and assassin promotions is brilliant, because they're putting on really good domestic title fights, 50-50 domestic fights the whole way through. So instead of looking at the card and saying, right, the 10 guys on the left are all going to win, you get a, they're fighting, you know, journeymen, so it's none of that. It's really, really good. Like, there's normally four or five fights where you just can't pick, and then, so they kind of build it around that, which is brilliant. So it gets people interested, and that's what this show was. It really whet the appetite of the country, and then, you know, went out live on national TV, so, you know, it was huge. So, but then on the night, obviously, you know, they have to back it up. You know, there's no point in saying this is great and this is great if the lads don't do it, but, you know, it went above and beyond expectations. It was just brilliant. The atmosphere was unreal, and there was so many local derbies, and you know, if you got one local derby in a fight, you're doing well, you know, and you can feel the atmosphere. But to have four or five on the night was just, you know, it blew the roof off the place, you know.
So the main event was Eric Donovan and Stephen McAfee, and it was a battle of the undefeateds, and that was by far, as you in your own words, it was the headline event, but it absolutely stole the show, which it quite rightly should do with it being the main event. And you obviously was there ringside for it, and it was a sickening body shot from Eric Donovan which finished the fight. But talk me through it, my man. What did you think? I mean, I've had a chance to catch that fight in particular, but I wanted to get your thoughts on how you think that went.
Yeah, you kind of summed it up in a way. Just to give you a kind of backstory to this one. Like, anyone that doesn't know, Eric Donovan, Irish featherweight champion now, 33, he was an Irish amateur star, you know. He was five times national champion, European medalist, just missed out on the Olympics, so he has decided to go pro, you know. So he's been, you know, the headline star here over here for the last 2 or 3 years. So this is his big breakout fight. You know, like his goal is European titles. So he, you know, he put on a performance to show everyone, you know, this guy is the real deal. And then looking at Stephen McAbee, like, it was just the thing about the fight going into it, such a good clash of styles. Like, Eric is, to look at him, he's fast, he just flows so well, you know, and naturally, he does everything well. You know, he takes all the boxes, and any part of the boxing, does it all well. Whereas Stephen comes in, Stephen doesn't have that amateur background. He was a kickboxer before, and he got into the boxing. He's a great style. He came in 5-0 with this. He actually started lightweight, knocked a couple of guys out of lightweight, moved to super feather, and then took this fight again, dropped down to featherweight. So, you know, we came in naturally bigger, so it was a naturally bigger, hard-hitting guy against Eric Donovan, the natural talent at featherweight, you know. So that was the kind of backstory to it. But going in, like, Eric, the two of them came in, wanted to control the fight from the start. They were both trying to, you know, get sent to the ring. You know, Stephen was pressing him, you know, with his size and with his movement and footwork. He was trying to back Eric up the whole time. And Eric was just that he has that clever boxing brain, you know, really, really quick fire jabs and really just, you know, rapid fire combinations, like 2, 3, 4, bam, bam, bang, and he's gone, you know. So we really go clash of styles. But what I did notice right from the very start, and he kept whipping in the left hand to the body, and he was looking for it right from round one, the first couple of seconds. And that was a shot that done Stephen McAfee in round four. That left hand, Stephen rushed in, Eric dropped his shoulder, boom, left hand right into the stomach, and that was game over, you know. But it was just, and I would say, for anyone that hasn't seen it, go and check it out. It was just perfectly executed, technique, the whole lot, and just perfect. You couldn't have hit any better, you know.
Yeah, we forget how sickening body shots can be, and how much of a delayed reaction they can have on a fight. So sometimes you can be hit by a body shot and it will take 2-3 seconds before the fighter reacts to it, and it kind of seemed the near enough the case with that shot Donovan landed. He landed it, and then like 2 seconds later, McAfee's down, and he's just, oh my god, you know, this guy isn't going to get up, and somehow he sort of managed to get himself
fair,
up.
And fair play to him, yeah.
Yeah, somehow he managed to get himself
exactly.
up.
Yeah, like, you know, he gave it everything and got back up. So, you know, like, fair play to, you know, Steve McAfee. And, you know, you kind of feel for him a little bit, because in fairness to Stephen, like, he, you know, out of all the you know, the people he could have fought, Eric is probably the toughest opponent on the mess. And, like, Stephen could have said a super featherweight, you know, he might have moved it back up to lightweight, but he couldn't really get a harder fight than Eric Donovan. So for him, you know, all credit to him for taking that and taking the chance, dropping down in weight again and going for it, you know. So like he doesn't lose anything from this loss against a top fighter. Like in fairness, anyone that's not familiar with Eric, like, you know, I think, and most people here that know him think, he's going to go on to be European champion within the next year. Like, he's that good, you know, he really is. You know, and he's going to do that to a lot of other guys as well, you know, at that level.
So he's definitely, from a UK-based standpoint, for the guys maybe in England, Wales, Scotland, that may have not already heard of Eric, he's definitely one that you're saying we should be watching out for.
100%. Like even now, Jack, okay, he's 9-0, like, he's 33, like, he can be totally fast tracked, like, you know, like, I would say on par with someone like Jordan Gill. Do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of level, like, him and Jordan Gill would be an unbelievable fight. Honestly, like, I'm not just saying it, but that would be an unbelievable fight. Him and someone like Reese Pilotti, Jordan Gill, you know, on that level. That's what he's looking at. That's what he looks like as well. You know, he looks like that kind of talent. So, which is great, you know. So he's flying the flag for the domestic scene here, and, you know, all credit to him. Like, you know, that's what he wants to be, the man over here to bring back big nights of boxing, and he just done it.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree. It seemed like it was, you know, a really good atmosphere, and the fact that it was on the national TV and he was able to get that platform, and it was on YouTube as well. Like, you were sending the links over, and it was like, the fact that it's getting that type of exposure now is exactly what these fighters need at this stage of the career, is that level of exposure to be able to get them to a different audience and for more people, you know, to follow them. And that's why we're doing this podcast episode, really, is to kind of give the listeners of this particular series of podcasts that, you know, there's other fighters out there that you probably don't even even know about that are actually fighting under the radar that have got so much talent behind them that you need to go and check them out and watch them and, you know, support these guys because this is what they need at this stage of their career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, like, it's not all about guys signed to Eddie Hearn or Frank Warren. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's other guys out there that are just as good and, you know, deserve the headline shows and, you know, but there's a lot of serious talent there. You know, not just in Ireland, you know what I mean? Like, but Scotland and Wales, a whole lot. The serious talent out there. But obviously, like, on my end, you know, looking at these guys here, you know, there's a few guys there that are really, really, you know, top. Now, obviously, not everyone is a top talent, a top prospect, you know what I mean? But there is some guys that really stand out. And, you know, we'll get to one or two more now in a minute as well that were on the show. But yeah, like, definitely, Eric, if anyone hasn't seen it, go and check out the stuff. It's unbelievable. Perfect timing, perfect technique. I mean, you know, I love watching a body shot. Someone get a stoppage of a body shot, and it's just perfect, you know, for any boxing fans.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It reminded me very much of George Groves when he stopped Jamie Cox in the World Boxing Super Series. The same, I think it was near enough the same shot. Yeah, I think it was near enough the same shot, exactly, and it had the same reaction as well, so it's absolutely mental. So yeah, anybody that's not watched it already that's listening to the episode, go and check it out and check out the knockout on YouTube, because it will be there freely available on there to watch, and check out Eric Donovan and Stephen McAfee as well, because I'm pretty sure, as you said, Johnny will come back and he'll bounce back, and obviously he's started out at lightweight and he's dropped two weights down, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of options for him going forward.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, look, there's no shame in that. Like, for Stephen, like, he actually vacated title at super featherweight. He was the Celtic super featherweight champion, so, you know, he'd probably have the option to go back up there and fight for that title or fight for the Irish title at super feather. So, you know, he'll definitely come again. He's a great fighter anyway in his own right, you know. So he just came undone against a really top talent.
Yeah, absolutely. So co-main event then, let's go through that. Victor Rabai 7-0 retained his Celtic light welterweight or super lightweight strap with a career best performance against Jake Haney, which a name was something I know you was looking forward to from the preview of the show. So talk us through it. I mean, how did you see it going down against how it did go down?
Do you know the funny thing about this, right? Like, again, with the backstory to this, you know, you're looking at it and you're going, Jake Haney, for anyone that doesn't know him, right, he came into this fight 5-1, 4 knockouts out of 5 fights, big puncher, real natural talent, you know, he has every shot in the book. His only loss came to Tyrone McKenna 2 years ago in a really good fight. Obviously, we know how good Tyrone McKenna is. So for him, he was 2 years out. He went off to Australia traveling and he fell back in love with the sport. Bam, here we go. He was training now Eddie Hyland, famous trainer over here. And so he's back. So everybody, I was thinking, you know, how good is he going to be after 2 years out? Will he still have that, you know, at that level?
Yeah.
So he came right back in at title level. You know, no Mickey Mouse, no journeyman. Boom, straight in against Victor Rabai, a champion that has been really active. He's been getting better with every fight. Really good technical fighter. And, you know, I suppose, unfortunately, in the end for Jake, it was a really close fight. You'd have, you know, Victor won on points, unanimous points decision. He was the better fighter, but Jake probably came a bit undone towards the end, the last two rounds. You could see him, you know, maybe the energy levels were different, which is expected, and Victor kind of took over then. But it was a great fight, really close fight the whole way through. Like, the funny thing about it, there was, although Victor won on points unanimous, there was no rounds that were clear cut, you know what I mean? Like, every round was close. It kind of could have gone either way, but he kind of just did done enough on most of the rounds, you know. Hello,
I'm still here, John. Got you back.
it was a great fight to watch, and it just, I suppose, it probably just got you thinking, like, geez, you know, if Jake had maybe had a fight or two in the lead up to this, you know, would the result have been different? And you know, possibly would have been. You know, Jake feels like he won it. He's calling for an immediate rematch, and why not? You know, like, this one was for the Celtic. You know, I'd love to see a rematch for the Irish title. You know, it was no doubt Jake would be better after having the fight under his belt. And Victor's improved, and he looked fantastic as well at times. He's a very anyone that doesn't know him, he's a real natural boxer. He's a great kind of he's a great feint, you know, that kind of fly Mayweather, make you miss, and a straight right hand over the top then. But he just, you know, Victor has every shot in the book. He's a really good, solid all-round fighter. Not a huge puncher, but he does enough to kind of work fighters, and he's very eye-catching shots. You know, he catches a really clean But yeah, like it was another great fight, really close fight, and Victor won out on points in the end.
So talk me through then, obviously, some of the other notable fights on the card before we obviously round up some of the other action on the card. Obviously, the next one that you in particular wrote about in your review of the show was Alan Phelan and Aidan Metcalf, which was a Celtic super featherweight contest.
Really entertaining fight. Anyone that gets a chance, I'd say check it out, especially the last round. It was brilliant. Again, do you know what I have to say, right? You have to give credit to Aidan Metcalf. He's some set of balls on to take this fight, because, you know, I've watched both of them. Like, Aidan only had two fights, you know, just for anyone, 2-0 coming into this fight, whereas Alan Phelan was 9-3, but he had 6 knockouts. You know, he's a big puncher, like, very heavy-handed. So he had 12 fights, you know, compared to Aidan's 2. So, you know, it was a big risk for Aidan, a big jump in levels, you know, where he kind of had two wins, not against, you know, kind of no notable opponents, so it was a big jump. So fair play to him for taking it. But the big difference the whole way through was Alan Phelan's power. You know, he could see it from the start. He was just looking, he was so close to landing those big shots, and he was looking for them the whole time, but he was doing it very calm. He wasn't rushing anything. He kind of knew, he had to look at someone that knew he had Metcalf's number, you know. He was just kind of just waiting for his chance. And in fairness, Metcalf, he was on the back foot the whole time, and he's really good, nice kind of, I suppose, amateur style, you'd say. Like, he's really nice, sharp punches, really good counter puncher, you know. But yeah, like, the end came then in round 6. Anna Phelan dropped Metcalf with a big left hook, and in fairness to Aidan, you know, he got up and straight away he got into a brawl with him, stood there toe to toe, brilliant stuff to watch. And then Alan Phelan caught him again with a short right hook and dropped him again. And then Metcalf again, got up, bravely rose again, but the corner threw the towel in there from a couple of seconds out there. But great end to the fight, you know. But Alan Phelan actually came out in that he missed the weight for the title, so we didn't actually win the title on the night. But so he didn't win. But I'd say what I would love to see, and what I think could happen also, is that I think Steve McAfee could move back up super feather, possibly fight Alan Whelan maybe for the Celtic or Irish title. That'd be an absolute, like, a barnstormer. It really would be, you know, an Irish fight of the year written all over it, you know. So you never know, keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah, no, absolutely, we definitely will. It's definitely something, you know, at the end of the day, we all want to see great fights. And, you know, I know he was really looking forward to the belt, and from all accounts it sounds like it's delivered on all levels. And there was so many other fights on this card that obviously it was going to be impossible for you to sit there and actually write a full review of every fight, because there was that many fights to talk about. But other fights on the card that, obviously, there's one obviously particular name that I'm more familiar with, and that's Dylan Moran, because obviously he was over here in the UK in Manchester under Kieran Farrell for his first few fights. So he fought over here in a lot of shows, and obviously I got to know him through going to Kieran's gym. And obviously I noticed he's signed a great deal, and now he's starting to, you know, start to work his way up. And he's got a win at the weekend over former European champion Grigor Mazur Jr. So he's moved to 10-0 now. Just seems like he's just edging forward. What's it like over there? I mean, are people talking about him over there as one of the top welterweights in Irish boxing at the moment, or am I interpreting that wrong?
No, you're definitely not. Like, I suppose, like, over here, like, it's, well, the way it's such a good division, like, really, it's probably possibly the best, that and middleweight, super featherweight as well. But there's a couple of good names. But now, Dylan Moran's a really top hand, like you said. He signed over to a big US promoter, I think Joe LaGuardia. So he's going to be on a couple of Matchroom, his own shows over in the States going forward, while also fighting in Ireland a couple of times a year. But no, Dylan's a serious hand. Anyone that hasn't seen him, check him out. He's just such a natural, you know. He's he really is. Like, he just makes it look easy in there. 10-0, 5 knockouts, you know. He's a bit of pop now. He was in a tough test there, again, former European champion, but he was made to work hard, you know. Mitzi, you know, he's a cagey customer, he's slippery, and there's no kind of easy wins over him. But Moran, you know, Dylan Moran won it, you know, he won it in the end by 5 points, I think. So yeah, he'll go onwards and upwards, you know. He's someone that can go on and fight for big titles, big ranking titles in the next 12 months, you know.
So something I picked up on the card was Ireland's youngest female pro at the age of 18 made her debut with a victory. So that was something, obviously, that... In the mainstream, obviously everybody thinks of Katie Taylor coming from Ireland and being successful as she's been at the moment. But what's the sort of female stance in boxing over in Ireland at the moment? Is a lot more females turning over now from the amateur side?
Yeah, I wouldn't say a lot more. It's definitely building. There's a lot more interest. To give you an idea, on the card, you had Caitlin Phelan, former, amateur standout, made her debut. She had a huge crowd there with her. She looked really good. But also on the card, we had Siobhan O'Leary as well. Who's brilliant to watch. Really is. She really had to, really had to work hard in this one. Against an opponent there that was only stopped against, I think it was Chantelle Cameron. So it is, and Siobhan was absolutely brilliant. They were really, really tough fighter, and goes to war every time. So it's definitely, the interest is building. More so, I suppose, you can see it in the amateur clubs, there's a lot, there's a huge increase in numbers, female boxers getting involved, which is brilliant, and that's only going to grow. That's only going to grow over time now, So, it's over the next year, so keep an eye on it. You're going to see a lot more female fighters turning pro, So why not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what about some of the other fights on the card then? Were there any other ones that you that were stuck out to you that you'd want to talk about, that you'd want to bring to the attention of people to sort of follow the careers of on that card?
Yeah, in terms of fights, there was one here everyone was looking forward to. It was a really just a great domestic fight. A big fan favourite here, Martin Quinn. He's now 3-1. He won a really tough fight over Francis Lozoho. Anyone that hasn't heard of Francis Lozoho, he probably had the best debut seen over here in a long time. He beat a fighter, I think it's Sam Jones. He was 6-1 coming into the fight, and Francis beat him in his debut. He's very confident. He's a very good fighter as well. So for a guy to come in, Martin was 2-1, Francis was 1-0, fighting each other at this stage of their careers, was brilliant. It was great to see. Neither cared about records. They were just getting stuck in, but. That was a brilliant fight. Martin Quinn ended up nicking it in the end. That was a great tear up. Another one I'd say wasn't in a fight tonight or anything like that, but another fighter to keep an eye out for who's going to be in a big fight shortly is Cian McMahon. He was first round knockout there, but Cian's going to be fighting in Aberdeen soon for the Celtic welterweight title. He's really one to watch. He's really building a lot of momentum, and he actually beat, I think he has a couple of wins over Dylan Moran from the amateurs. So Cian's a really good talent as well. Again, in the welterweight division, which is really buzzing at the moment.
So in general then, with this particular card, would you say it was a very good return to form for Irish boxing in general? Not that I'm suggesting it's never been any good, but I mean in terms of where things have been at over the past, say, 18 months, 2 years, to where they're starting to come again now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're getting a big card on mainstream TV, I suppose you want it to go well. You want to see a bit of everything. If you were to write a show and say, right, talk about boxing results and the whole lot, you'd have everything in this show. It was brilliant. You had guys making their debuts. There was some great knockouts. There was three domestic title fights. There was there was 50-50 matchups. I had everything. So if you're a hardcore boxing fan, you would have loved this show. If you're a casual fan tuning in saying, oh, should stick that on for an hour or two, there was just brilliant fights throughout, really, really good tear ups, there was great technical fighters. It had a bit of everything. And again, I know I touched on it at the start, but you have to give credit to the promoters with Boxing Ireland and Assassin. They came together on this show to co-promote it. The last couple of years, as I said, they've been doing these kind of shows. This is not new for me. I've seen these kind of shows the last few years, but it's new obviously for the Joe Soap sitting at home thinking, Jesus, it's not just no disrespect here, but it's not just 10 Polish plumbers here fighting Irish lads. You know what I mean? But for us and the guys going to the shows, these are the kind of shows that the guys have been building their brand on. They've been building them on domestic title fights, domestic fights the whole way. And that's why it gets bums on seats, and the atmosphere is just ramped up. And I mean, I've been to tons of shows, the atmosphere of these shows is something else, because you're getting 10 to 12 fighters that are all Irish or they're local or whatever. So it's just building and it's building and it's building the right way. And then I think looking at it, you have a headline star in someone like Gary Donovan that can fly the flag here. That he could headline every show. You know, he's that good. You know, and to have someone like that, you know, they're very lucky, I suppose, in a way to have someone like him on the book. So. But yeah, it's only building, and I'm sure Eric and a few others have probably made household names for themselves after the weekend. So, it's only going to get better. And I think TG, for any non-Irish speaker, this and TG4, it's TG Carr in Irish, but TG4 are committed to showing, I think it's at least 3 shows a year on mainstream TV, which is brilliant, you know. And so that's really building, and that's only going to grow the sport over here, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's kind of part of the conversation that I wanted to have. Obviously, you talked about the show and obviously how good it was, and you know, it wasn't just a standard prospect versus journeyman show. There was a lot of 50-50 fights on the card and a lot of entertainment value brought to it, and the fact that it was on national TV over in Ireland obviously makes it even better for you know, you sort of hardcore Irish fans that want to support the fighters and want to follow the sport even more into the mainstream. But ideally, you know, I wanted to get more into the side of things where I wanted to find out your thoughts on what you would want to see, you know, where you would want to see it go, you know, over the next 18 months, for example. Would you want to see dedication to more televised shows if possible, and then, you know, more of the guys over in Ireland getting some of the shots on the bigger shows over in England, like on maybe the Matchroom or Frank Warren bills?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, just to kind of watch your thoughts on there, where, you know, Irish Fighters flying over in the UK and these shows, and it kind of has started to happen. Like recently there, the Irish Super Bantamweight champion, Cal McDonald, lost a very, I think, controversial decision on an MTK Glasgow show. You know, it was a very close fight there, but, you know, and then Vladimir Belousi went over as well, and he lost, gave David Brophy a really good fight, you know, and again, two lads coming in on short notice, so, and they really made a name for themselves. But, you know, it's been happening, like, Carl McDonald as well, he actually, his only other loss, again, came to Jordan Gill. He took this fight in short notice, and he lost some points to Jordan, who we all know is a top talent. But yeah, no, like looking ahead, you know, I think they will have more, you know, because I think, you know, knowing a lot of the guys over here, they're not concerned about padding the records, you know, they're not looking to get to 10-0 with 10 easy fights and 8 knockouts. You know, they want to be in good, meaningful fights. So these guys are happy to take a chance and say, yeah, do you know what, I'll fight over in the UK, I'll fight in Sky Sports, and I'll take a chance against this guy. So you are going to see it a lot more, because they, you know, there's really good talent here, and like I said, you know, the lads want big fights, and they'll take them. They don't care, you know, who they're in against. But then in terms of the boxing scene here, as I said, you know, TG4 are you know, they've committed to a certain amount of shows a year, which is brilliant. Ideally, then, you know, what you want to do, if you have someone like Eric Dunne there, who's now the Irish champion, the next step for him, you're looking at European. And that's what he wants. So for the guys, I suppose, you know, you want to see, you know, maybe, obviously, this fight was in the National Stadium. They might be looking at the National Stadium again, or maybe the Tree Arena, you know, a really big arena for maybe something like a European title. That's something that is a possibility in the next 12 months. You know, so we could have an Irish or a European champion there. And there's a few other guys that are kicking on the door for a title fight, and so I suppose, you know, in looking at the shows, you know, you're going to keep getting, you know, really good domestic matchups, but there's going to be more meaningful title fights, you know, and there's maybe one or two lads that are building towards European fights and ranking belts. And so, yeah, look, you know, for a boxing fan over here, it's the best it's been in a long time, and you're getting regular shows, you're on TV, so, you know, like, there's you're getting great matchups, you know, so what more do you want, you know?
Yeah, 100%, and I totally agree. That's what it should be, and that's what makes it more an entertaining sport to be a part of. And what about thoughts on the some of the Irish fighters that are going basing themselves over in America, guys like Niall Kennedy, Ray Moylett, and Craig O'Brien, who's just been over there recently. I know you obviously wrote about him in the New Irish News quite recently, and they're basing themselves over in America. What do they get out of that? Is that to get the exposure? Because there's a lot of obviously Irish American fans over there.
Yeah, I think there's probably, like, obviously, look, I'm not going to speak on behalf of Craig O'Brien or anyone else, but I suppose from my point of view, there's probably a couple of positives for them You know, like if you take, for example, say Spike O'Sullivan, right? You know, he obviously started over here, you know, fought in the small shows, the small hall shows, and then went over, based himself there, you know, and with Murphy's boxing. And, you know, and like he just went on and fought for, you know, he's just been building and building. Obviously, fought David Lemieux and for an eliminator, you know, and he's someone that's going to go on and fight for in the world title, probably light middleweight next year. But, you know, for the guys there, yeah, like there's a couple of positives. Again, you have a huge Irish-American audience over there. You know, you have these big arenas and they sell them out, you know, and the atmosphere is unbelievable. So the guys, I suppose, if you're a promoter over there, you know, right, if you 4 or 5 guys, Irish guys in Boston fighting, like, they're going to pack the place out. And then for the fighter, you know, it's a great experience. You know, he can fight more regularly. And, you know, there's the opportunities probably moving a bit quicker in terms of world rank, you know, fights and world rank titles, you know. And obviously, look, it's just calling it like it is. You know, at the end of the day, there's just more money over there. Ultimately, yeah. That's the thing. You know, you probably can't compare somewhere like New York and Vegas in terms of fights and money to being on the, over here. That's just the way it is. So, but yeah, so, I mean, obviously it makes sense for them, and that's, you know, fair play to them, and you know that's their choice. So yeah, give it a go. And like I said, you can see from Spike, you know, how he's grown, his profile over there is huge, and you know, and people like Craig O'Brien and Ray Mollette, you know, they're going to grow as well. They're going to get that back in too. Sorry, I just wanted to touch on too. When you're talking about fighters based over there, you know, look at Aaron McKenna. I don't know if you've been following him.
Yeah,
like for anyone not familiar, Aaron McKenna, like he's only 19. Signed the Golden Boy, welterweight, 7-0. There went 7-0 the weekend, 4 knockouts. Unbelievable talent, really is. Like he's talking about being a world champion before he's 21. Him and his brother Stevie McKenna, the two of them are with Golden Boy. Stevie's making his debut coming up. So, you know, for two guys like that, you know, from the country here in Ireland and a small kind of place where they're from, and to be signed over to Golden Boy, I'm fighting in LA, it's you. It just shows you the potential there. And obviously Jason Quigley as well, you know, who's been based over stateside, who only made his UK debut there recently, do you know what I mean? So the talent is here and the interest is over there. And yeah, so I mean, you know, these guys are getting huge exposure now. I mean, you just need to look at, you know, look at John O'Carroll and against Tavon Farmer, and you know the interest that was there. And so it's just growing the sport here, and it's putting a spotlight on fighters here. So
we've still got you there, John.
Yeah, mate. Sorry. Yeah, it worked well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, that's fine. Don't worry. So what I was going to really ask now, really, to sort of come to an end for the review of Clash of the Titans was, overall then for this show, how would you say it sort of fares up to recent shows over in Ireland? And I mean in terms of the smaller scale. I'm not talking about, say, Frank Warren putting a show on for Cal Frampton in Belfast. I mean like your sort of smaller hall boxing, which is what we're discussing and we're covering today.
Just being honest, I mean, just, you know, comparing it with what you just said, it's, you know, this was, you know, the best show in a long time, best show I've loved seen in a long time. You know, like obviously, you know, I've been on to the shows here, you know, and there's been great domestic fights. But this just seemed to up the ante a bit. And maybe, I don't know, maybe because it was in the National Stadium, you had the TV coverage, all the fighters up their game as well. And it was, you know, there were just some unbelievable performances and the crowd, the atmosphere, because you were getting those local derby fights, and it was just, you know, it really was magic. It really was legendary stuff throughout. It was up there as in terms of atmosphere and the show itself, quality wise, it was, you know, best show I've seen here in a couple of years, like by far.
So it'll be good to get more of them going on, and I know you touched on it a little bit earlier on, like what you'd want to see, and the I think the more the promotions get the TV exposure, and the more they put the shows on, the more likely it is that you're going to get more mainstream or more casual fans wanting to tune into it. And I've always found that in this day and age, with the technology and the amount of platforms that there are out there to be able to watch boxing on, that there's going to definitely be a market for it where we can actually get to watch it. And obviously the fact that it was on TG4 and it was on YouTube as well, so for guys like might not be able to get TG4 and want to watch it, you know, he was able to just nip onto YouTube and put the link in and watch the show and be able to catch the boxing on there. And that's what I find, which is really, really good for exposing these fighters to different mainstream audiences. And the show itself looked like it went down a treat. Obviously, I watched the main event, and I did see the main event, and I can comment on the fact that it was a brilliant fight, and it was a great end to a fight. And it's what kind of most casual fans want to see when they watch a fight. Not everybody appreciates the different styles of boxing, but people always want to see somebody get knocked out. So for a sort of casual,
that's it. They want to see the drama. They want to see. They want to see blow, they want to see the stoppage. So look, that's it. Like, I had a bit of everything for the hardcore fans. There was great backstories. If you follow the guy, you'd say, oh geez, Jake Haney's coming back after 2 years out, but he still have it. And there were so many stories throughout, and there were so many guys. If you're a hardcore fan, you can't look, I love watching him. He's a great techno boxer. But like you said, for the casual fans, I had stoppages, I had unbelievable knockouts. There was real toe-to-toe, 8 round battles, and which is what you want. What more would you want?
Yeah, that's it, exactly. So, from terms of yourself, then, what? Have you got now lined up for the future? Obviously, you've recently started writing for obviously our platform, Eat Sleep Boxing Repeating. You started bringing all the different articles and different variations of interviews to the website. What is it you've got lined up for yourself and for other Irish fighters over the course of the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, like something I'm looking at, and I probably touched on it here, with the amount of talented guys here, I'm going to do a once to watch or a top prospect, Irish series, or looking at it over here. So there's a couple of guys there I'm going to be chatting to. People might be familiar with them, they might not, but they're definitely worth checking out. Not just, for me saying as a hardcore boxing fan, but casual fans could get into these guys from day one, there's some guys that are that good. But yeah, so that's something going forward. We're going to be looking at Irish top prospect series. Obviously there's going to be more. There's a few things in the pipeline regarding news we can't come out with just yet, but they're going to be coming out shortly. And then looking forward to, apparently there's going to be a new show in soon, so there's going to be more, hopefully more top shows like this to report on and talk about.
Yeah, 100%. And I think I think one of the things I was talking to you about off the air was maybe making this a more regular occurrence, where we're able to put this out in this platform and be able to give the people the opportunity to kind of listen to what your thoughts are on the shows and the reviews of the shows, and giving a different outlet for the guys to get the exposure and review the fights and the shows. And I think it's been it's been a wonderful insight for me personally, because as much as I obviously have a great knowledge of boxing, or so I think, I feel like this is a way to educate people that maybe are not in the loop with what goes on behind the scenes in Irish boxing and what happens on the smaller hall shows. I mean, I think it's physically impossible to be able to know everything about every show and every fighter and fight that goes on. So this is a fantastic way of being able to put that out there and give these guys this exposure and get them a bit of a limelight in some way, shape or form, and give people the opportunity to listen to our thoughts on the fights and the shows. So obviously I appreciate you coming on today and giving us the time to actually break it down. So is there anything further, John, before we call it an episode? Is there anything you wanted to add? Is there any social media handles that people can follow your work on at all?
Yeah, look, for anyone here that's listening, I suppose, like you said, Eat, Sleep, Box and Repeat, I'm putting regular stuff out there. You can see me on Facebook, John Bulger, but or Instagram as well. Yeah, so work away, and hopefully you enjoy this, and hopefully we can, people are, we'll put a spotlight on some of the fighters here, because like I said, the scene is buzzing. For yourself, Sean, or anyone else, if you get a chance, come over to a show and take it all in, because they're just putting shows like this on all the time. And the sport is, honestly, it's just buzzing here. And like you said, credit to the fighters, because these guys, they don't care about padding the records. They just want good fights. And it's a fan's dream, like you said, thanks for having me on. And hopefully people got a bit of insight there out of it, so it's all good.
Well, thanks for coming on, John, really appreciate it. Thanks for your time. So there we go, guys. That was the Irish Boxing Review on the Clash of the Titans show with John Bolger, who writes for Eastleigh Boxing Repeat. If you've not checked out any of his work, head over to the website www.eastleighboxingrepeat.com for various interviews, reviews and previews from John Bolger. Appreciate everybody that listens to the podcast. If the Irish Boxing Review isn't something you're interested in, then that's fine. You don't have to listen to the episodes, but this is more for the Irish fighters, the Irish fans out there that want to get something that's dedicated to boxing in Ireland and the fighters that are up and coming in that area of the world. So I'm really happy to have had John on. Really hope people that have not had this exposure to these fighters before go out there and check these fighters out and follow them on social media and give them an opportunity really to show you as a fan what they've got and what they potentially could do in the future. And for us guys at BTR Boxing Podcast, I want you to go over and find us on the social media handles at BTR Boxing Pod on Twitter, BTR Boxing Podcast Facebook, and we're on all available podcasting apps, which includes Apple Podcasts, it includes Stitcher, Player FM, Podbean. You can find us on the YouTube channel for Eat Sleep Boxing Repeat. We're even on Spotify as well, so subscribe to us on there, leave us a rating, leave us a review. If you've got any questions, drop us a tweet. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Podcast Network.